goes before me. Defender behind me. Defender behind me. I won't fear. I won't fear. Filled with anointing. I'm filled with anointing. Cups overflowing. My cup's overflowing. No weapon can harm me. No weapon can harm me. Jesus. I won't fear.
Good morning and welcome to the presence. Good morning and welcome to the presence. Is it just that my mic is really hot? All right. Welcome. Look, stand on your feet and just, you don't have to go to anybody yet, but just kind of look at them and say, hey. Welcome those of you watching via live stream and Facebook Live. And, we're going to praise the Lord this morning. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? All right, my daughter Shannon is going to lead us.
Thank you. We've come to worship you. We've come to worship you because you've been so good and so kind to us. We've come to worship you because we don't know why you are mindful of us. We come to worship you because when we were yet sinners, you sent your Son. Oh, we come to worship you because you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We come to worship you today, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for our church, Lord. We thank you for those who were sick among us. Lord, that's why we come to worship. Because those that were not feeling well, Lord, you came by and visited them. So we came by to worship you, God, because all the things that we deal with in our lives, and some with thorns in their flesh, Lord, some with things that they're dealing with in their lives, that you brought us through. We come to worship you. Oh, we may not be completely done with the pandemic, but you brought us through, Lord. We came to worship you. And God, as this church moves in a direction of growth, Lord, we came to worship you so you can lead us and guide us in the way that we should go in the ministry, Lord. We came to worship you. Today we ask that you bless the pastor today as he shares the word with us, that we just don't hear, but we be doers of the word. Lord, we ask that you bless those who have come and gathered today. Lord, we ask that you bless those who could not make it out to your house today. And Lord, as we leave this place, we want the report to be that, yes, we've truly met with our God today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's do our affirmation prayer together. Everyone together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me, and I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree according to 3 John 2 that in every area of my life, I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Amen.
Good morning. I said good morning, church.
Hallelujah.
You know what? Before you're seated, just go to a couple of people and just tell them it's good to see you. It's good to see you. Good to see you. Welcome those of you watching, again, watching live stream on our Facebook page. Thank you for joining us this morning. Hi, baby. So a couple of things. Got Will's daughter and son-in-law and son here, Albert and Lisa. Yeah, Mr. Crazy Man right there, Terrence. And they were here for something. What were y'all here for? Some kind of occasion, something. But Mr. Will Williams turned 80 years old. So they honored him yesterday. Happy birthday, man. Happy birthday. So it's good to see you. I think we have one first-time visitor? Do we have any first-time visitors? I think we have one. Just stand and let everybody see you. Welcome. Thank you for being here. And her husband came and kind of did a little pre-searching, you know. Okay, you can come. I want to say, first of all, I know it's spring break, and I noticed some of y'all came in at the old time. But we do have, you know, people go out of town and all that, so Rita's not here, and she usually does the announcement. Pastor Sanola is visiting our grandkids, but I do want to say a couple of things. One, first of all, and I've been meaning to do this for a few months. Pam Barnett, will you stand up? Yeah, just stand up, Pam Barnett. This is Pam Barnett, and listen, when you come into Fellowship Hall and see it decorated in a different style every month. This, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate that so much. So, it's spring break. And listen, we're going to, this coming Wednesday, you know, we usually do just one verse Bible study, and the youth go over there in the fellowship hall and do their thing. But this is spring break, and this we're going to do this coming Wednesday. We're going to show a movie, okay? So this coming Wednesday, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's going to be good. And no, Shannon, it's not going to be Creed 3. Yes, it's kids. It's going to be G. It'd be family friendly. All right. Yeah, everybody can. Yeah. All right. So we're gonna, you know, we'll come in. We'll have some snacks and stuff, and we'll allow you to bring the snacks in here, and we're just gonna have a time of fellowship, because fellowship is good. All right. So if you're here, if you're in town, and you're not leaving out for the week or whatever, come on Wednesday, and we'll have some snacks and stuff, and then we're just gonna show a movie here on Wednesday. Amen. All right. I think probably. I'm going to hold off everything else because it's quite a bit until the end. Is that okay? All right, turn with me to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Are you there? Lift your Bible up, or your phone, whatever you have. Lift it up and just say, I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Come on, say it again. I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence today. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help me to share what you have placed on my heart to share this morning. And may you receive the glory and the honor. May we have ears to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to read Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Let me read that again. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. I want to use as a subject this morning an offering and a sacrifice. Everybody say, an offering and a sacrifice. Come on, say it again, an offering and a sacrifice. Now, I am always up front with you all, and I always tell you, because sometimes I'll read a scripture and it, you know, it may mention offering or whatever, and I'll just tell you, listen, this is not about finances. This is not about giving offerings or anything like that. But today it is. It is. Every pastor worth his weight in gold will speak on giving at least one time a year, because it is a truth. It is true that as we give, God blesses us. It is true that giving is an act of worship. It is a way that we express to God that everything that we have is His. And so today, you know, and while our text today, I just want to be very clear, while our text today is not referring to financial giving, its truth can be applied to all types of giving, including the giving of finances. Now, I will say this, we're not, and I have to do all these disclaimers because we want people to understand that our church is blessed. Church is blessed. Every month we release a financial report that shows what has come in, what our budget is, and all of that. And so we're not doing this out of necessity. I'm not doing this because, you know, the ship is sinking. We're blessed. But again, every year I think we need to be reminded of the blessings of God and how our giving not only blesses God, but it blesses us. Okay? Jesus gave himself up as both an offering and a sacrifice. Everybody say an offering and a sacrifice. So this brings to light an element of financial giving that we rarely discuss, and that is this, sacrificial giving. Everybody say sacrificial giving. All right, so most Christians, most of us think, when we talk about giving, we think in terms of tithes and offerings, right? But I believe that there are three types of giving, generally speaking, through the Word of God. The first one I'm going to call worshipful giving. Worshipful giving, that is your first fruits or the returning of the tithe. Okay? That's worshipful giving. I'm going to allude to that in various ways throughout the message. The second is thankful giving, and that is offerings. So your worshipful giving is your tithe or your first fruits. That's just, it comes off the top. And then there is and let me just say this about tithes. Tithing was an Old Testament truth, right? And Jesus came, he didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. The reality is that under the new covenant, it's not so much tithing, but it is what God places on your heart to give, and tithing is a great place to start. It's a great place to start. Okay, so just so I want to be clear on that. It is always good. It is a good practice that you give first to God from all of your increase. That is your tithe or first fruits. All right. Then secondly would be that of thankful giving. That is an offering on top of or in addition to the tithe. Then there's number three, and that's what we're going to sort of key in on, and that's sacrificial giving. So that's above and beyond. Those that's something that you didn't plan on. That's something that is just it's beyond the offering. It's you got your tithe, you give an offering, which is a thankful portion, just to say, God, thank you Your tithe is not so much a thank you. Your tithe is your responsibility. Okay? That's your responsibility. I'm going to give you a great example here of that in a minute. Then your thankful giving or your offering is in addition to your tithe. And then there's sacrificial giving. Now, I want to make this clear because not all giving is sacrificial. Well, I gave my tithe. That's I made a sacrifice to do that. No, you didn't. You returned that to God. Okay? So just because it leaves your wallet or bank account doesn't mean it's sacrificial. Okay? Tithes and offerings are not sacrificial. If they were, you'd be really every pay period you'd be like really crying and just because sacrificial hurts. Sacrificial is totally different than tithes and offerings. I'm going to give you a little bit more here in a second. Remember, Jesus gave himself both as an offering and a sacrifice. Everybody say an offering and a sacrifice. So Shannon's going to like this one. Here's sort of an example of how to look at it. Okay, you go to a restaurant, all right, and you have a great meal. And after you finish your meal, the waiter or waitress brings you a what? Check. Okay? Now, the meal was not free. That's why you got a check. Okay? And so it shows you what your meal costs. That is what you have a responsibility to pay. That is the tithe. That's the tithe. As a matter of fact, if you go to Malachi, the third chapter, Malachi, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me in your tithes and your offerings. So if you try to dine and dash, you're going to get arrested. It's a crime. For all God has done for us, it would be a crime for us to receive blessings and get paid and not give God what he is due. Back in the day, and we don't really like to use this phrase or term, but people say, yeah, I got to pay my tithes. Well, it's not so much that, but it is a responsibility. All right? So you're at a restaurant, right? And you get your check, and so now you're going to pay for that meal. Now, in addition to that, what do we do? Tip. Everybody, listen, you know what? Let me look into the camera and say this. Because I was at a pastor's prayer, and he reminded me of something, because he was talking about when he went to a restaurant here in town. I believe it was on a Sunday. They just wanted to bless the waitress, and he was saying how they blessed her so much that she asked and they told her that they were pastors and during the conversation, and this is what she said. She says, you know, I'm just trying to do my best, you know, and Sundays I don't even like working on Sundays because on Sundays Christians come in and they don't tip. I remember, and I didn't mean to go this way, but I'm going to get back to it. I remember back in the day when they would have the Azusa conferences. Some of you remember. I mean, Azusa conferences, people would come from all over, you know, and the Mabee Center would be packed with people and just great meetings. And after those meetings, we'd fill up the restaurants. Got word that the restaurants hated it. Because after we did all that shouting and singing and everything, we'd go in there. First of all, fuss at the waiters and waitresses because they didn't get our order right, and then we walk out without giving any kind of tip. They hated it. All right, so here's my point. The biggest tippers should be Christians. So let's just say, back to the example, tithe, you pay the check. You give a tip, which is basically what you're saying to the waiter or the waitress, I appreciate your service. I thank you. All right? So you give them a tip. generally speaking, you know, the 20% is great, is good. You're right. 10%, not so good. All right. So anyway, so you, let's just say you give 20%. All right. So then you're sitting there, and I've done this. Sonola's watching. We've done this. We'll sit there and look. You know what? Wasn't planning on this, but let's just bless her. And there have been times when we have given, in addition to paying the bill, and in addition to the standard tip, we'll give sometimes more than what the whole bill is. Just have you all seen like sometimes on social media how somebody will come in like to a Waffle House, you know, whatever, and they'll just give like $1,000 tip or whatever like that. Okay, so that could be considered sacrificial. You weren't planning on it, you know, but you had it, you were able, and you just, that's sacrificial giving. All right? So first of all, don't leave the restaurant without paying your bill. Second, don't leave the restaurant without giving a good tip. I'm going through my mind, is it okay to say this? I think it is. I'm going to say it. Okay. As a black man, when I go to a restaurant, my conversation, my action, how much I tip is a reflection on who I am, my race. And I never want anybody to say, you know, those black people. So I'm standing up for my race sometimes when I just feel like, and whoever you are, wherever you go, wherever you eat or whatever, you want people, when you leave, you want them to say, man, that's a great person. That's a great person. This pastor who went to the restaurant, this woman, this waitress, ended up coming, her and her husband coming to his church because of how they treated her. All right. Everybody say an offering and a sacrifice. So now, with that backdrop, you know, tithe, offering, sacrificial giving. The word offering, as used in Ephesians 5:1-5, the word offering means a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Again, as I said, when you tithe, that's returning to God what he really requires, what he expects. And then the offering is a gift. It's an addition to, right? Now, a sacrifice, watch this. The definition of sacrifice means to be a victim. It means to be a victim. A sacrifice, it hits harder than an offering. It hits harder than tithe. Sacrificial giving means you may need to go without something in order to give this gift. That's what sacrifice means. It means you're gonna have to really look and say, ooh, when I give this, I'm not gonna be able to do that. Because that's a sacrifice. Listen, it's not a sacrifice if it don't cost you anything. All right? So Jesus offered himself up for us and became, watch, a victim of sin on our behalf. He became a victim. That's what it means to give sacrificially. So in terms of giving, when we give an offering, we are offering a gift of thanks in addition to our tithe, right? But a sacrifice is something that you really didn't plan on, and you will definitely feel the hit in your wallet and your bank account. You're gonna feel it. There was this movie, and I can't remember what the name of the movie was, So I'll just say it this way. The guy was in a house with his wife. His wife was just acting crazy, and he just finally he just you know, he was trying to get her understanding. She wasn't understanding. So he leaves the house, gets in the car, and he just sits in the car. I just have this picture right here. He's just sitting in the car. He's not doing anything. And all of a sudden he goes, that's kind of what happens in your head, in your mind, after you give sacrificially. It's like, what did I just do? It's like a sacrificial gift. It's like that's when you say, okay, God, okay. Okay, God. You know, listen, those of you who are faithful in your tithes and offering, you don't go through any, like, you know, you're not tripping. A sacrificial offering may cause you to trip. A sacrificial offering may cause you to lose some sleep. It may cause you to go back and check, did I really give that? Wait, can I call the deacons? All right. The very nature of a sacrifice, this is the very nature of it. Something else that you need or want becomes a victim of your generous and bountiful giving. It's heart motivated. It's faith motivated. As a matter of fact, sacrificial giving is a result of complete trust and faith in God as your source. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because you know, even though it's a sacrifice, you know, even though it makes your bank account a victim or whatever. Even though you know all that, you also know that you serve a great God. And if God gave that to you, he'll give you more. Sacrificial, watch this. Sacrificial giving is not concerned with what you have left. Think about it. God gave his only begotten son. He didn't have another one. But he wasn't concerned about what he was going to have left. He just gave. Jesus wasn't concerned about the life he was going to have. He gave it. And you can't give sacrificially unless you truly have the mind of Christ. Everybody say, Lord, give me the mind of Christ. Give me the mind of Christ. Sacrificial giving means to give beyond. Turn to Mark, the 12th chapter, 41. Sacrificial giving means to give beyond what you feel you are able or what you feel is practical. It may not even seem practical in your own thinking, but if it's something that God has placed on your heart to do, then you have to do it. Sacrificial giving. It stretches your faith beyond the comfort zone of your normal giving. It stretches you. Sacrificial giving stretches you. It makes you uncomfortable. What did I say? Mark 12. Look at verse 41. Mark 12, verse 41. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus. Out of their surplus. So these rich people were not giving sacrificially. It's like a millionaire giving $1,000. That's just, okay? For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on. Now, do you think that she gave sacrificially? Sacrificially. The first thing I want you to see, verse 41, and he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting in to the treasury. God is watching how you give. Not just what you give, he's watching how you give. That's why, and I will go to 2 Chronicles, the ninth chapter here in a minute. The Bible says to give cheerfully, not grudgingly, not like, you know, oh, Lord. All right, just check. You might as well just tear that thing up. Okay? So God is watching. So then the other thing about this story that I really love is that although the rich people were giving large sums, Jesus said that they were just sort of giving gifts or tips. They were tipping God. But this widow gave sacrificially. God desires for, you know, we talk about believing together heart and soul. And now listen, I know when you do messages like this, there aren't a whole lot of amens, you know, because I'm not telling you how blessed you're going to be and all this kind of stuff, but I have to teach. I have to share what God has placed. So I appreciate you listening. And actually, at the end of this message, we're going to ask you. We're going to ask all of us to do something. Not today, but God desires for our believing together, heart and soul, to be evidenced by our sacrificial giving. Turn to Acts, the second chapter. And what I mean is, because I believe God wants us to get to a place where sacrificial giving is not the exception, but it's the rule. It's something that happens all the time, and I believe it happened in the book of Acts. Let me read Acts, the second chapter, verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to breaking in bed and prayer. Verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. That's where we get believing together, heart and soul, along with 432. In verse 45, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. See, we read scriptures like that, and we say, that was then. That will never happen here. But it was, listen, this was something new to them. They were being unctioned by the same Holy Spirit that came earlier in that, in chapter 2, that filled them with the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that was unctioning them to do that. You know what? I think I have a piece of property I can sell. I want to help get this thing going. I want to help this ministry. And they were selling property and bringing it and laying it at the apostles' feet. Not for the apostles, not for the pastors, but for the furtherance of the kingdom. You all understand what I'm saying? And this is the type of giving that ignited the Acts church. It was that type of giving. Sacrificial giving was the heartbeat of them believing together, heart and soul. Flip over to Acts, the fourth chapter. Look at verse 32. Acts 4:32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, believing together, heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not a needy person among them. Now, I want you to see this, how this is read. The end of verse 33 leads right into verse 34. And abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not a needy person among them. Here's the point. The abundant grace mentioned in verse 34 was a result of the sacrificial giving mentioned in 33 was a result of sacrificial giving mentioned in 34. Abundant grace came because of sacrificial giving. There was not a needy person in there because of sacrificial giving. And it was God gracing everyone with the means, with the ability to give, sell their property and et cetera, in order to give to the ministry. God, listen, was gracing the church to finance the church. We'll say it again. God turned to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. God was gracing the church. Great grace was upon them all. He was gracing the church with the ability to finance the church. Somebody say amen. And here's one of my favorite scriptures. 2 Chronicles, the 9th chapter. Everybody say, come on, an offering and a sacrifice. All right, 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. I'm going to read verse 6. We've heard this many times. 2 Corinthians. Did I say Chronicles? Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows how? Sparingly, that means stingily. Will also reap sparingly. And he who sows how? Bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one, here it is, must do just as he has purposed in his heart. Now, that may seem like God is leaving it up to you, and in a sense he is, but God is placing in your heart what to give. He's the one that's telling you to give $1 million, so just obey. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, not with an attitude, or under compulsion. In other words, listen, I've been in services where pastors and leaders would manipulate people. Ooh. Pastor Sinola would tell you, this was years ago in the service, and this pastor got up and he was just, oh, he made me, and I was up on the platform, she was in the audience, and he was like, you know, get something, everybody. God's been good to you. You need to get something. You know, all this kind of stuff, and just manipulating the people. And I saw, you know what? I think we were just dating at the time. We weren't even married. I don't know. I can't remember. She'll fix it when she comes back. But she was going into her purse. She said she was just going in to get a few pennies or whatever. And I saw her going in her purse, and I from the platform, I was like, what are you doing? I did. If you ever feel manipulated to give, don't do it. It must be unctioned by the Holy Spirit. Unctioned by the Holy Spirit. I can count on one hand, I believe, in the 14 years that we have taken two offerings in our services. We rarely, rarely do that. And those of you who have been here for a while, you know that we do the offering last. We don't emphasize money here. We emphasize the presence of God, the word of God, and we let God take care of the rest. Amen? So there's no manipulation here. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves, what kind of giver does God love? A cheerful giver. If anything, we should be dancing around this church because we're so thankful and so grateful to God that we have the ability to give. And then verse 8, and God is able to make all grace. There's the grace. He's able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Do you know what that means? Here's what that means. And God is able to make all grace and ability abound to you so that always having all the money you need for everything, you may have all the money you need for every good deed. That's really what you have enough. Anytime you see somebody in need, you have the ability to meet that need. And that's the kind of blessing, that's the kind of of spirit that was happening in the Acts church because God graced them to do it. God graced them to do it. Now, turn back to Acts, the fourth chapter. Acts, the fourth chapter. And look at verse 36. Acts 4:36. Because they were talking about, in verse 34 and 35, they're talking about people selling property again and laying them at the apostles' feet. And so then they give an example. Verse 36, Acts 4:36. Now Joseph, a Levite of a Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, you might think this is unusual, but it's really not. This man had some extra land. He had some land, and he thought, you know what? I'm gonna sell this and give it to the church. It could have been a car. It could have been some furniture. He had something. He sold it, and he gave it to the church. So now the disciples nicknamed him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. How many of you want your giving to be an encouragement to others? Man. As a church here at the Presence, we give to missions both foreign, at least three, Belize, India, and I want to say Ghana, but that's not right. That might be right. Ghana. Four. And then we also give here locally, right across the street is the Baptist Children's Home. We give. Every month, monies go out. We tithe from this ministry. That's the first thing we do. Okay? We give. And that's what you, and so we are encouraging people all over the world. And how do we do that? Because you give. Your gifts allow us to encourage people all over the world, missions and orphanages and missionaries. Barnabas's giving was an encouragement to the Acts church. Barnabas was the one who took newly converted Paul to the disciples, because, you know, when Paul first got converted, people were scared of him. They were scared because he had been persecuting the church. This Barnabas was the one that took Paul to the apostles, said, hey, he's cool. He's good. Really, he's good. Barnabas was used by God to bring others to the Lord. That's in Acts, the 11th chapter. Barnabas assisted in sending contributions to those in need. That's also in Acts, the 11th chapter. Barnabas had a generous spirit, generous heart that God could pour his grace into. God is looking for people. Listen, God is looking for people who are willing, who will be obedient, that he can grace with the ability to give sacrificially. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those people. I want to be one of those people. Matter of fact, how many of you want to be one of those people? All right. So this is what I want to do. First of all, I just want to pray. Okay? This is what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for those who have a desire to be graced by God, to give beyond tithes and offerings and into the arena of sacrificial giving. If that's you, I don't want you to stand. Would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand. I want to be able to give sacrificially. So if you have that hand raised, God, you see every hand. And I believe that there are those who are watching who have the same desire. I pray that even as you grace the X Church, that you would grace us. Grace us, God, to be able to give sacrificially. Beyond our tithes, beyond our offerings, but just that
that sacrificial gift that we could look back on and say, man, that, whoo, I don't believe I did it, but I trust God. God, I've asked this many times in this congregation, how many want to be able to give $1 million? And hands go up all over the place. So God, grace us. We want to be able to give sacrificially. So show us how to do it. We have pure hearts. And we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, would you just worship the Lord? Just worship the Lord for a minute. God, we worship you. Hallelujah. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. So this is what I want to ask you to do. We're gonna take our regular tithes and offerings here in a minute, but this is what I want you to pray about. You know, I told the team members at the team members fellowship that we were going to do sort of a push for our capital campaign. But you know, after praying and getting into this word, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to do something different. And here's what we're going to do. Our yearly budget hovers around somewhere in the neighborhood of, I want to say $230,000 for the year. For the year. Somewhere in there for the year. And so I'm in the board meetings, and we're every time we have a board meeting every month, we Steve Lyman tells us kind of where we are financially, and if we met budget that month, and had a little shortfall, and sometimes when we do that, we have to move monies from our savings into the general account to make sure that everything is covered. And let me just tell you, I told you earlier that we are doing fine. We are. We have probably almost $150,000 in our capital campaign account. All accounts total with the general account and missions account, we're hovering somewhere, I believe, around $230,000 right now in the bank. So it's not like we're, you know, being squeezed at all. But here's what I feel led to do. This is what I feel led to do. On April the 2nd, everybody say April the 2nd. On April the 2nd, we're going to call that, and I didn't realize this until I looked at the calendar. On April the 2nd, we're going to call that Sacrificial Sunday. That's also Palm Sunday. It begins Passion Week. And this is what I want you to do. On that Sunday, I want you to prepare a sacrificial gift. And this gift is not going to the capital campaign. It's going to take care of our yearly budget. All right? So everything that is collected on April the 2nd is going to go right into the general fund and help so that we don't have to worry month to month. Well, we're like 5,000 short or 2,000 short this month. And it varies from month to month. Generally, the first Sunday of the month is usually the best. And then it kind of tapers off and, you know, kind of ebbs and flows. And then there are times when we just get, poof, where in the world did that come from? All right? So why are we doing this? So that we don't have to worry. We don't have to be concerned about just our normal operations for the rest of the year. You follow me? So on April the 2nd, and I hesitate to throw out amounts, but I'm just going to say there are people here that could give $5,000. There are people that can give $1,000 sacrificially. Give as God places on your heart. We're not doing any, what do you call them? What do you call those things when they say, I'm a give it? Pledge. We're not doing any pledges. Just on April the 2nd, just bring it. Ask God, believe God, and pray about giving a sacrificial offering on April the 2nd. Now I'm going to pray again. Lord, I've said what you gave me to say. Right in this moment, I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of everyone under the sound of my voice. Give them what to give on April the 2nd. It's a sacrifice. Give them what it is they are to sacrifice on Palm Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Somebody give God a praise. Yes. Hallelujah. Somebody getting ready to get blessed. Somebody getting ready to get blessed. Amen. Now listen, if you are, maybe you're watching, or even if you're here and you're like, I ain't waiting. If you just want to do something right away, just put April 2nd, put sacrificial giving in the memo. If you want to do something today, that's fine. But, all right? All right, we ready to give? Lift those, what you have for today. Father, thank you. Yes, thank you, Lord, that we are able to give today. The seed that leaves our hand never leaves our life, but it goes into our future and it multiplies. Come on, say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Say it again, I'm blessed to be a blessing. And so, God, we give with cheerful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, give to the Lord. Give to the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, so we have a few announcements. So just hang with me for a couple of minutes. First of all deacons and elders, I'm going to meet with just briefly in the fellowship hall right after this service. Just make your way to the fellowship hall. It's just maybe about 10 minutes, okay? Just meet me there. And just to let everybody know, when we started this morning, that every Sunday from 8:30 to 9 a.m. we have prayer here in the sanctuary, and our deacons and elders and those who are part of the prayer team will lead out in that. But anyone who desires to pray with us every Sunday from 8:30 to 9 a.m., and that's one of the times that we're increasing prayer. All right. L3 ladies, breakfast this coming Saturday, March 18th. At 9 a.m., although you say, yay! don't forget our Hide the Word memory verse. That's Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. That's the verse for March that we are memorizing. Let's see. The Prime Timers are doing an outing, Sight and Sound, to Branson on May 19th. And please see Gary or Paulette if you'd like to sign up. How many spaces do we have left? 12 spaces left. We're taking a charter and a bus, 44 people, 12 spots left, and you can invite people if you like. And the cost is around $160, and that includes the bus ride, the sight and sound show, which is great. They're going to see Esther going to Paula Deen's restaurant, and it's a great time, so you want to go to that. All right, Needlecraft Fellowship is next Sunday, March 19th after service. Needlecraft. All the men said, all right. I'm just kidding. Okay, so three more things, and they're really short. On March 26th, it's the last Sunday of this month, Energy Youth, we are doing an Energy Youth Sunday Takeover. So we're going to allow our youth to do pretty much, you know, various things in the service. You'll see some of them up here singing. You might see somebody on the percussion, cameras. You know, one person might steal Chris's saxophone. No, I'm just kidding. But it's going to be, we're encouraging our youth to get involved and do things in the service, ushers, greeters, and all that. So that's on March the 26th. And then on March 31st, we're talking about increasing prayer. We're going to do a 12-hour prayer chain on March 31st. And the sign-up sheet is already back there, so you want to get back there fast to get your time, or if you don't, you're going to get the 2 a.m. time. All right, but 12-hour prayer chain, it'll be on Friday, March 31st, from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., and that's good. Lastly, we've never done this before, but on April the 7th, we are going to do a Good Friday service right here at 7 p.m., and so be prepared for that. It's going to be awesome. We're going to show a little video and do some singing and just really get into the spirit and acknowledge the sacrifice that Christ made for us. And that is Good Friday service on April the 7th. All right. Woo. That's a lot of stuff. Y'all ready to go home? Well, no, you're not ready. I got another message. I always come with two. No, I don't. I don't. I could. But. All right, stand on your feet. Pray you enjoy the rest of your day. Again, be praying about April the 2nd, Sacrificial Sunday, and let's believe God for a great day. Lift those hands toward heaven. I give you the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1 and 11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you. God bless you. We love you. If you'd like additional prayer, I will stand up here just for a few minutes and join you and believe with you. Deacons and elders, please go to the fellowship hall. Thank you.